The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's March 21st, 2022. It's spring! Yay! To be rebroadcast on WHUS 91.7 FM and us.org on March 23rd, 2022. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Storch. Hi, Dr. Fran. How are you?
I'm eating a kiwi fruit with the skin on.
Isn't she healthy?
Because it's organic.
You just gotta love it. Anyway, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, you just saw Fran hold a kiwi fruit in front of the camera. They're very nice. You can feel free to comment, and Fran may be able to actually respond to you today, which would be very nice. Mm-hmm. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live, you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or comment below on the Facebook page. That would be great. We're recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing with our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast outlet. Ron's rant of the week. So last week I ranted about SUVs and should they be outlawed? And then 1 week later, what comes out? Well, Ron's been mildly obsessed with college basketball right now. It's March, it's madness. We live in the basketball capital of the world. That's self-proclaimed, by the way, for this area. And so, I'm watching a lot of basketball. And I'm going to the Husky game tonight, the ladies game. Woohoo! I'm really psyched. Anyway, so there's a lot of commercials on TV. And there is a commercial for the GMC Sierra. And with this commercial, you will hear a very familiar song, which is the We Will Rock You song by Queen. Is anyone else offended or upset with this ad? Well, apparently not on Google, because I did a Google search, and seems like I'm the one. So here it is. Here's how it goes. GM's latest ad, with the functionality of hands-free driving technology, GM Sierra owners are able to clap along uninhibited to the beat of Queen's We Will Rock You. As their vehicles maintain speed, change lanes automatically, and the drivers can enjoy their drives without having their hands on the wheel at every moment. GMC says, its Sierra is the most advanced and luxurious pickup truck in its class, and it rocks. Put your hands on the wheel. Watch where you're going, damn it. Sorry, I said it. I had to. That's crazy. Crazy, crazy. What we are doing is we are teaching those who drive motorized vehicles that it's okay to take your hands off the wheels. It is not okay to take your hands off the wheel. We're not there yet. I know AI is coming. I know it's getting better, but we're not there yet. There are vulnerable users on the road. They are in their deaths and injuries are increasing over the years, and it has a lot to do with people not paying attention to where they're going. That's my rant. That's what I got. And, you know, we'll go on from there. On a positive side, I got out for a bike ride last Friday. It was 72 degrees outside. Now, I know those of you who listen to me from other parts of the world and other parts of the country where, you know, 72 degrees. Oh, so what? What's the big deal? Well, up here in the great Northeast, the cold North, that's a nice day. It's a real nice day in March, that's for sure. Above normal temperatures, which was really nice. An exceptionally quiet day, too. So not a lot of wind, which was really, really nice. So I got out. I took a new rider, someone who is with me in my indoor cycling class 3 days a week. And I took her out for a very nice ride. I explained to her that we were going to go over a lot of big hills, and it was going to be a beautiful ride, and so it was. It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. We went by a friend's house who was getting ready for the weekend to prepare for a big sugar festival. They cooked down so much sap over the weekend, last weekend, that they have people who volunteer to be firemen to throw wood into the stove that's cooking down the sap. They have quite an operation. It's pretty cool. And they burned 10 cord of wood over the weekend just making maple syrup. So pretty cool stuff. We got to stop and chat with Judy, and hopefully Judy will get back out on her bike. She's talking about getting back out on her bike this year. So shout out to Judy, and I hope to see her again soon. So great bike ride, beautiful, lots of hills, 84 feet per mile. That's what it came out to. Yeah, it's a hilly day. That's a hilly day. But you know what? It didn't matter because we didn't go fast. We didn't try to go fast. We just were out to ride our bikes and enjoy the gorgeous day, get in all those smells of spring. There's smells of spring, Franny. There's like,
yeah, I know.
You know, it's
wonderful.
Like the cow manure is out. And
oh, I haven't smelled that yet.
And then the fresh air, of course, is out there too. Oh, you know, we live in a very rural area, so well, you smell a lot of cow manure.
I rode my bike outside yesterday too, and also on last Wednesday, and also did yin yoga in the yard, which is very nice.
So Fran gets back from a bike ride and she's got a blanket laid out in the yard and she's doing her yoga. And it's cool because you can do, you were doing an online class, right? You were doing a virtual class.
Yeah, well, not, I mean, it was recorded, right. It was pre-recorded.
But oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was live or not. No. But that's kind of one of those things you can do. Looks like Robert and Chris are both on and watching. Thank you very much. There's probably somebody else on here too that I missed. Jason Reed is watching. Hi, Jason. So anyway, lots of, so that was that's my big positive side. But again, in addition to that, I got lots of comments about the gas episode last week. You know, get off your gas and ride your bike. Remember that? Yeah. So anyway, I got a few programs, a few comments out there. I'm going to read one of them to you from Pete, who is a regular listener with us. And he says, good program about gas, its price, cost of car ownership. But anyway, he sent me this, which I thought was very amusing and very appropriate for the program and costs and all. And he said, here are some of the hidden costs of cycling, costs I incurred because I ride a bike. I'm using my cycling log from 2019 because of COVID distorts in 20 and 21. A week in Carefree, Arizona in January, $900. I had a free place to stay. A Memorial Day weekend at Hampton Beach was $200. 8 days of riding from chateau to chateau, plus a few days in Paris to be sure that we made our flight connections, $3,000. 5 days across southern Vermont to the Hudson Valley, $700. I recorded exactly 100 rides. I may have missed a couple. About 20% of those rides include either a meal during a ride or a beer or meal after the ride. Let's say 20 rides times 15 or $300. In the off season, we occasionally gather at a restaurant we ate at or on a ride because we miss each other, but I won't include those meals nor include the normal Lake Champlain rides over the extended 4th of July tour costing about $600. I missed that in 2019. So total $5,100 because I like to ride. Okay. Isn't it great? He had the $1,500, but the thing is, if you ride your bike, you have the extra money so you can go and do all this stuff. But all these things he did with his bicycle. What a beautiful thing. Pete, thanks for the comment. I do appreciate that. That was fun. That was fun to read, and I'm glad you had a great 2019, and I hope you have a great 2022 also, because, you know, things are loosening up a little bit, and hopefully you'll have more adventures to go on this year. I too will be working with the Farm to Fork Fondo folks this summer, so I will have some adventures that I'll be doing too, which is really nice. And Jennifer, who listens to the show, says, will it create another layer of the bike boom? Jennifer, I think so. I think it's here to grow and to stay, and I think it's going to make a big difference because more and more people, you know, they're looking at how do I reduce my costs? My costs are going up. There's this inflation thing that we have that we're dealing with. The price of gas is ridiculous, although it has come down over the last couple of weeks, I think, or last week since I broadcast the last time. It has come down a few cents a gallon, but we're not talking about a lot here, and I'm a little concerned that there aren't as many people talking about the price of gas as I would like to see. But anyway, Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Mike. Pedal power, Mike. Yes, absolutely. I got you. Anyway, moving on to the mechanical minute or tips that Ron has in addition to mechanical tips. So indoor cycling to outdoor transition tips. Because this became very familiar to me as I am now transitioning from the, I don't know what I've got, like 70 hours indoors on my bike right now. I add up hours. That's how I figure it out. That's pretty much how I calculate most of my riding. I go by hours, not by miles, because miles are relative. It doesn't matter. I mean, if miles on a flat ride versus miles on a hilly ride, it doesn't really matter. So I'm all about the hours. And so anyway, I do log a number of miles or hours, excuse me. I just made the mistake. I log a number of hours on an indoor bicycle because I'm teaching classes on an indoor cycle at my local community center. So by the time the rubber hits the road, if it's been a particularly nasty winter and I've taught a lot of classes, I usually have somewhere between 70 and 90 hours on an indoor bike before I actually hit the road. So I have hit the road a couple times this year already, which is nice because we've had some great weather. And Pete says he does hours also. So that's great, Pete. I agree. I think it's the saner way to do it without getting totally obsessed. Because I do know people get pretty obsessed with their miles. And which is, you know what, if you're proud of the fact that you had a 3,000 mile year or proud of the fact that you had a 10,000 mile year, good for you. That's great. I still like ours. So I'm going with ours. What do you have to say, Fran?
I'm going to be really proud if I have a few bike rides where I feel absolutely fine afterwards.
Fran is still transitioning from the, I am not doing any cardiovascular exercise because I'm dealing with a post-COVID situation. We are still somewhat unclear as to whether she had COVID and is on the long COVID journey here or whether it was vaccination
yeah.
oriented. So she's working on it, but I got to say I'm very proud of the fact that she's been able to do this because Fran was on the, she was on the kicker downstairs every day last winter. She was just always on the thing and put a lot of miles or hours in yes. on the kicker. And so this has been a difficult transition for her. But she did get out in the last couple of weeks. She got out twice on her bike, which is nice. So she actually rode the bike outdoors. And she's going to join me for bike rides this year because, you know, I'm an old slow guy, so I had to get my young bride to,
I have to get to a point where, because the way it works with long COVID is, now I don't want people to worry that I'm very, very sick. I'm not, but I definitely have symptoms. And one of the things that happens when you have long COVID, long COVID and vaccine injury seem to be the same, pretty much the same symptoms. So
what happens is
I'm sort of suspecting that I actually had COVID at some point. And you can get a very mild or asymptomatic case and still get long COVID.
Right.
So what happens is part of the spike protein, the S1 protein, resides in the endothelial cells, which are the cells that line your blood vessels. And so what happens, unfortunately, is when you get cardio exercise, those S1 proteins get released from the endothelial cells and you get symptoms. And I don't have the symptoms while I'm riding. I get the symptoms hours later where I feel my digestive system, like I don't feel like eating. I don't quite get nauseous, but I have no appetite. My digestive system goes off. I feel a little bit lightheaded and I feel tired and kind of woozy. And those are classic symptoms of long COVID. Now, mine are not extreme. And if I just rest and take care of myself, they tend to go away. Like today, I felt better and I decided not to get on the bike. I think the repetitive motion of the bike is what stimulates it because I did a little bit of easy dance this morning and that was fine. And when I do yoga without having done bike, I'm fine with that too. It's the intense flow of cardio that seems to bring this on. And it's awful because, you know, I rode my bike 16 miles yesterday and I was on the bike because I didn't go fast. I rode for an hour and 20 and hours later, I didn't feel great. I mean, I was able to get out of it. I feel fine today.
But it has become progressively better,
yeah,
right?
So it's progressively
so
better.
You're definitely getting better. At least I'm totally noticing that you're getting a lot better.
Yeah.
Because you used to have days where, you know, it was real bad, and she just couldn't do.
I would get barely, shaking chills.
She could barely get out of bed. It was so bad. And now it seems like when she has an incident, it's only for a couple of hours or so, and then she'll rest and it'll come back. But she's not alone. So if you are interested in more information on this, certainly you can reach out to us and you can check in with Fran, because she is a doctor and she will be able to give you some very, very good information as far as this goes. But this is becoming common amongst higher level athletes. So people who are on the high level athlete list who have already, and this is all I can figure, is that they've already got some compromise to their immune system because of the high level of work that they're doing when they're competing or working out or whatever. They're the ones that they're getting some really nasty long COVID symptoms. And that's why you will see, and there has been controversy to this, that there are professional athletes that have refused to get the vaccine. And are they right? Are they wrong? Should we restrict them? Should we not? Huge question. Huge, huge question. They're just trying to take care of their bodies, and they're very sensitive to what's going on. So anyway, bringing us back to the show here, we're going to zip on back over here. But if you have any long COVID symptoms or problems or issues that you're dealing with, I spoke with a friend of mine. It went for about 7 months with him. And, you know, it can last a long time. So it can be very depressing when something like this happens. So anyway, if you have any of that and you want to share it, please, please send over your information and I'll pass it on to Fran, or Fran can check it out and you guys can start a conversation, because it's scary. It's really scary. It's really taken a while for Fran to adjust to it, but she has got some great tips as to how to deal with it. So here we go. So we're going to, on my cycling to outdoor transition tips, one of the biggies, and I talk about this a lot in class because I have a number of people that take my class that use my class as their winter training tool, because they need the motivation. They need somebody, you know, screaming at them and throwing a workout in front of them that will make them work, and they need to stay focused on it. So they come and they take my class, and I have my regular classes are usually just under an hour, and then I have one class that I do for 11 weekends in a row, and it is an hour and a half long class. So it's fairly intense. Sundays was ridiculous. It was really, really intense. What I do is I actually have a spreadsheet program broken down, and so I increase the workout weeks every week. They get a little bit harder, a little bit harder, a little bit harder. So a couple of Black Russians will take care of that. That's funny. So anyway, they do get harder, and because of that, we have now reached week 10 on Sunday, and it was intense. And it was so intense that I actually ended up changing it up partway through the most intense part, which is very much a long aerobic anaerobic mix. And I broke it up with a rest in between to make it a little less intense. And that was probably a smart idea, because I had people coming in today who take my class on Sunday and now took my class again today, and they were. Really telling me a lot of stories about how they felt afterwards and how hard the workout was. By the way, it is okay to take a nap after a workout like that if you should have the time of which to do that. So that's a good thing. So cool. Wow. So we've got some people in here. We got from anywhere from South Windsor, Connecticut to Singapore listening in today. Hi, Patrick. How you doing? So anyway, let's go on to the transition. The big thing is, if you have been on Zwift all winter, or you've been on a spin bike all winter, or some sort of indoor training device in the wintertime, I want you to remember, unless it was a set of rollers, I want you to understand that that bike, when you get out on the road, is now moving. And it's kind of simple, no-brainer, isn't it? But it is moving. And you have been on a bike that's very, very stationary. You've been on a bike that you've been able to put out a pretty solid, heavy wattage workout on. And if you have not been concentrating on how to keep your position on the bike and how to relax on the bike and keep yourself from, you know, really punching hard on the bike, you get out on the road and you're all over the place. So do I recommend going for a group ride after sitting on an indoor cycle all winter? Absolutely not. No, 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 no. Go out and at least ride the bike once by yourself and get your, you know, if you were not cycling, you would get your legs under you. It's like your sea legs, you know. You want to get yourself back to the point where you can relax on the bike and you can drop the shoulders and drop the elbows, as I emphasize when I'm teaching in a class indoors, and trying to keep your torso really still, and then just really focusing your power from the hips down. I like to say from the core down, so it's core to hips and on down is what you're looking at. You want to really just relax everything, get smooth, keep your cadence up as much as you can, and don't go for a hard ride first ride when you go out. Go for a really easy ride, okay? Take it easy. Just get your bike to become one with you again. I find that it takes me about a week of riding outdoors on a fairly regular basis, so 3 or 4 days a week, before I actually start to go, wow, you know, what I did this winter really worked and it really helped. But that first week when I'm out and I'm riding fairly consistently, I kind of struggle at first to get myself to become one with my bike and to start feeling comfortable on the bike again. So anyway, it's just a big watch out as far as that goes. I just don't want anybody to get hurt, and I want to make sure that you're riding down the road straight as an arrow and perfect, so that when motorized vehicles are trying to pass you or navigate around you and figure out what the heck you're doing, you don't become the weaver. We don't want to be the weaver, right? We want to be really straight and really consistent and be able to be read very easily as to what our intentions are when we're riding down the road. It makes life easier for all vehicles that are on the road at the same time. So we're going to talk about another thing here, because I have people that are telling me about, you know, getting out and jamming hard on their bikes, and they're just like doing some really, really hard stuff this time of year, and I'm a little confused by that. I am a big believer of the hard ride followed by the recovery ride. And so today I want to talk on my Mechanical Minute and Tips. I want to talk about recovery rides. What is a cycling recovery ride? Recovery ride is considered to be the ride you do after a tough or long day in the saddle. The idea of a recovery ride is that you ride at an easy pace for around 60 to 90 minutes. Stick to zones 1 and 2 during this ride. Okay, now any of you who are using a heart rate monitor, and any of you who live in the hills, you're going to realize that it's very, very difficult to stay between zone 1 and zone 2. I call this the great opportunity to take somebody out that's new to cycling and they've never really done it before, and you're just trying to give them some tips and you're trying to keep the pace really low because you're doing that. It's a great time to bring a new novice rider out for your ride. You really want to keep that heart rate down. It's very difficult, even indoors. Sometimes I find it very difficult to keep my workout down to zone 1 and 2. I did not have any trouble with it this morning because of yesterday's workout. I was a really good boy and did a really good job. Just keep that heart rate down. Let your body recover. Let it try to do the best it can. Some of the information I read says that that people try to keep it more towards zone 1. That's pretty easy pedaling. I got to tell you right now, that's pretty easy pedaling. It's very, very hard to do if you have a lot of hills. But here's the secret to climbing the hills in low zones. Don't go hard. gear it down. Just go super slow. It's no big deal. You're going to get there when you're going to get there. Your friends aren't going to ride by you or drive by you and give you a hard time because you're being smart. And eventually, if they do, then you're going to kick their butts later on and they'll go, what the heck did you do that's so much different than what I'm doing? So it's super important to have recovery rides. You need to give your muscles some gentle exercise. It helps you prevent them from tightening up and generally helps them with repair of the muscles. So how often? This depends on how often you're cycling and the nature of your rides. I would suggest recovery rides around twice a week. Let's say you do two or three rides of big days or single ride if it's a huge effort, and then take a recovery ride. Another thing to be mindful of is when you set out on a big ride and you're pushing too hard, you're too tired to keep going at that pace. Tone it down. Listen to your body. If there's nothing that I've learned over the years, this is the one that really sticks out. As I've gotten older, as my fitness has changed, as my health issues have changed my fitness levels, I am listening to my body more now than I have ever listened to my body. And I only wish I had done this when I was in my 20s. That would have been just a beautiful thing. So if you are in your 20s and you're listening to cranky old Ron here, then you might want to just pay really good attention. If you can't pay attention to this, hire a coach. The coach will watch for you. The coach is there to guide you through your journey and help you through your journey. The coach can give you a lot, but you will never, ever, ever get stronger or faster by just going hard all the time. You will reach a plateau, you will get stuck there, and you will not go any further. And all you're going to end up doing is breaking your body down. So at the end of the day, if you push too hard, if you push your body too hard, it's going to resist. And be that, it's going to end you into, you're going to end up in an injury situation. Or as I remember, this was interesting. When I was racing my bike back in the day, I remember having just an outstanding spring training. I put lots of long, slow distance miles in. I then accompanied those rides with shorter distances and higher intensities. So I was getting stronger. I was focusing on the hills. I was focusing on time trials. I was really trying to get myself fast, and I got really fast, but I also was working primarily on a distance-oriented training because I was looking at, we have an annual state road race, which was, at that year, it was 107 miles. So it was a long road race, and you know, you wanted to make sure that you had a good base for it and you were at the peak of your fitness when you got there. Well, I hit it right on the head, the nail on the head. And I had a perfect race, one of the best ones I've had when I first started training. And then after that, I didn't let up. And by the time the 1st of July came around, I just wasn't interested in my bike anymore. That's a really, really sad place to be. The weather's good, the weather's perfect. It's the middle of the summer. All your friends are out riding their bikes and you don't even have the effort to, or the enthusiasm to pick your bike up because it's just not interesting to you. When you get to that point, you are in a lot of trouble. So it's really, really important to not get to that point. Hi, Chris, how you doing? My body keeps telling me I need another hamburger.
That sounds good.
That does sound good. And you know what? When you're at that point where you've overdone it and you've reached that peak of, I really need some rest, that hamburger is pretty good. It's all right. That's an okay thing. So, you know, I'm not against eating. I love to eat. I really do. I try to, over the years, as I've learned a lot about training and a lot about my body in particular, I try to eat the best food I can because I believe it does make a difference. I do feel better when I do that. And so anyway, Here we go. If you've had a really tough day in the saddle, your glycogen levels will have depleted.
Glycogen.
Levels have depleted. Resting gives you a chance to top these up. Getting your energy levels back up to where they started can take from around, hang on tight, 36 to 48 hours if you've seriously pushed yourself. That's a lot of time, folks. That's a whole lot of time. So you really have to appreciate the rest. The fibers in your muscles will have become damaged and broken down during the exercise. Resting allows them to knit themselves back together again and become stronger. Signs you need to rest. Here we go. Not being able to sleep. Funny, I had a really sleepless night last night. I tossed and I turned. I had weird dreams. I found myself not sleeping as soundly as I should. What did I do before that? I had one of the hardest workouts I've ever taught. I had that day of on Sunday. So I had a little bit of difficulty relaxing and sleeping on Sunday night. And then you could even be waking up feeling more tired than you were when you went to sleep. Now that I did not have. I did wake up a little earlier than normal. I actually woke up before my alarm went off because I get up really early to teach this class. And but I was okay as far as that went. I think there's a nap with my name on it here this afternoon. I'm not opposed to that. So that could definitely be something I want to do. But what did I do when I got on the bike this morning? First of all, I walked around the room a lot as I got people, you know, acquainted with their bike and their warm up and got them into their warm up. And then when I finally got on my bike, I just kept it in zone one and zone two, and that was it. And that's where I hung out. I still taught the class because I had members of my class that had not participated in the workout yesterday. But the ones that did, I was very, very firm with them about keep it down today. You've got to keep it down. There wasn't a lot of convincing with my friend Bob. He was totally sold on keeping it down because he was cooked. He said that was the hardest workout he had ever done. So, and he was very happy with it, and he was very pleased with himself and how he performed with it, but he definitely felt the need for keeping it down. And of course, because he is in my age group, he's smart enough to know better. So, or at least we like to think we're smart enough to know better. You also want to take a look at changes in your heart rate. So, overtraining has an impact on your heart rate. So you have to pay attention to that. My way of doing that years ago, back before we had the fancy heart rate monitors and all that, was to very simply just check my pulse in the morning when I was laying in bed. Before I got out of bed, before I actually moved, I would just check my pulse and I'd see where it was at. And if it was elevated higher than my normal resting pace, just by lying there first thing in the morning, I took it really, really easy. That's a simple thing to do. You don't need anything fancy. You don't need a heart rate monitor to do that with. You can simply do it by putting your fingers on your wrist and checking your pulse, or you can put them on your neck and check your pulse that way. So check your pulse. That's really good. The results that found that a change in your heart rate, either faster or slower, can be a sign that you need to rest. To monitor this, you should track your heart rate when you're feeling good and use that as your guide. And I have a suggestion on that too. We're getting into a lot of suggestions here today, and I'm not even into the rest of the show. But anyway, I suggest that what you do is you monitor your heart rate every morning for 7 days, all right? Every day you wake up in the morning, you check your heart rate, you write it down. Next day, same thing. Write it down. After you've completed 7 days in a row, divide the number by seven. Add the numbers up, divide by seven, and that should be your resting heart rate. This is, of course, only if you are not killing yourself on your workouts or on your bike rides. But anyway, that's a great way to get an average heart rate, so you know where you're at. Okay, so you're out on a bike ride with your buddies and you're getting dropped when you shouldn't get dropped. If you don't normally get dropped when, but you are, it could be a sign to take a day off. If you have a power meter, you can monitor this more easily. You know, not all of us have the fancy power meters, but it's a good thing. And then the other thing is you're probably aware of how many watts you can usually do at certain points on your ride if you have the ability to measure your watts. But if you're no longer hitting those watts, think about when you last took a break. You may be overdue. So there it is. There it is. That's part of Ron's mechanical minute and tips of the week, which is not a minute anymore. I'm going to have to change the name of that, I think. Anyway, we'll call it the mechanical moment and tips of the week. So anyway, in the past, I had talked about the Taipei Show because the Taipei Show is a very big show in the bicycle industry, and I had not had time to get to that in previous episodes. And the Taipei Show is over, but you know, Taipei Show brings out some of the best of the best, the newest and most innovative things that are out there. And so I have a few things to talk about from the Taipei Show from 2022, which hopefully you will find interesting. Remember when I told you, and I've told you this in past episodes on Bicycle Talk, is watch out for the auto industry, because the auto industry seems to have a tremendous amount of interest in the bicycle industry all of a sudden, especially with the advent of e-bikes. Taipei Cycle reported many of this year's visitors came from the automobile and information and communication technology industries, suggesting that the integration in the cycling industry could be an upcoming trend. You heard it here first, folks. And then they went to Taipei, and the results are in. This is a happening thing. The automobile industry is seriously interested in us. They really are. They want to know what's going on here with the cycling community. They want to know what's going on with bicycles, with technology in bicycles. And you're going to start seeing more and more money getting poured into, especially the e-bike industry, I think, from the automobile industry. If they're not going to be pouring information in, they're going to be taking information out and using it and applying it towards the vehicles that they're building. But they're concerned. They're watching us carefully, because there is, if things go the way that I, of course, imagine them to be, and also what was my listener there, Jennifer from earlier, the way, and we're wondering whether or not this is going to be a trend and a boom, they have a right to be concerned, because if this catches on, if this whole cycling thing catches on and it becomes sort of a no-brainer, why don't I just get a bike and ride my bike back and forth to work? It's going to seriously hurt the automobile industry. So, and it's going to also affect the energy industry. And those industries are so big, they're so powerful and so strong that they got their fingers on the pulse. I was really impressed to read this, and I thought that was kind of a cool thing. So let me point out a couple of things that I saw on some videos. My shout out to my British friends over there, who I listen to all the time because they have great little podcasts. But anyway, there's a tool called the CO Tool. You know, CO2, CO Tool, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what it is this was really cool. You take a CO2 cartridge, all right, and they have a piece that they screw onto the end of the CO2 cartridge, not penetrating the cartridge, but just putting it onto the end, and then all these little tools that screw into it, including a ratchet wrench, which screws into the whole thing. And so they call it the CO Tool, and it has, basically, it's a thread-on multi-tool that goes along with your CO2 cartridge. So if you're already using a CO2 cartridge, you can add this on. It's kind of a neat thing. I thought it was clever. I thought it was real clever. And sometimes, you know, you see clever things when you go to the Taipei Show, because it's a cool place. There is a company called Foss, F-O-S-S, which has a zero-drag silent hub. Haven't we seen this before? Zero-drag silent hub. Seems to me that there was a company called Suntour many years ago that did something like this. They had a fairly friction-free, couldn't hear the pawls, you know, for all you guys that are out there that have been in the industry for a long time, give me a shout on that one. I think that this has been around before. But anyway, their claim is that it also has little to no drag as well as a silent feature. So do you like the idea that you can't hear the ratcheting of your free wheel? Remember, whenever you're hearing noise, whenever you're hearing that ratcheting or any kind of rubbing at all, it's friction. And even if it's a ratcheting of a pawl, it's still friction because that's how it's making the noise. So they've come up with a zero drag silent hub. I think that's kind of intriguing. We'll see where it goes. I love my bike to be quiet. Oh, do I love my bike to be quiet, which is why I have taken to riding primarily my steel bicycle over my carbon bike, because my steel bike is quieter than my carbon bike is. I just like a nice quiet ride, especially when I'm out at this time of year and all I can hear are the birds and, you know, just things off into the woods, whatever. It's just, it's so beautiful this time of year. And why not have your bike be, you know, as quiet as the surroundings that you're riding through? That's really, really a cool thing. So anyway, there's another thing. There's a company, and I must have kicked off the front part of it, something light, and I don't have it in front of me now. And it's called Light Move, excuse me. And it's an e-bike tail light that integrates with a brake lever. Gee, sounds like a car, doesn't it? Well, it's car technology. It's car technology that has looped over into the e-bike business. Here we go. You feeling this connection here yet? You're starting to see this? Topeak has a new heavy-duty repair stand, which has this like semi-hydraulic lift feature for e-bikes. It's very heavy-duty. It can support an e-bike, which is obviously much, much heavier than a regular bicycle is. And you push down on a foot pedal, and when you do, you can very easily elevate the whole stand up to the level so you can work on it. So you can put it on when it's low and then push on this little foot pedal and up the bike comes. It's not an actual hydraulic system, but it does give assistance so you can lift your bike up. So I thought that was kind of a neat thing. And there's also a company that is making hollow sealed bearing pulley wheels. If nothing else, they look really cool. So the little pulley wheels in the back, but there's nothing in the center. You have to look at it to see how it works and how they attach, but they're pretty cool looking. And I thought that was kind of cool. And it's just a big oversized sealed bearing with gears on the outside. It's very clever. And anyway, more saddles, grips, and trainers. And let's not forget e-bikes and ho-hum, lots of new gravel bikes. But my favorite item that I saw, my absolute favorite of all, is there's a company called Fochi Industries, and it has a slick new QR system for disc wheels. And it's very slick, and it is about time. And I'm talking about a real quick release. It has a mechanism which is attached to the fixed side of what your quick release would be. That just stays there. You flip a lever and the whole thing comes out, drops the wheel off, slide it back in. So if you've got disc wheels, it's going to make, watch this one carefully. This is going to make a big change in the bike world because of bicycle racing. Because if you've ever watched even an incredibly experienced mechanic change a disc wheel in a bike race, it's like, it's one of those things I've been complaining about as to why I don't like disc brakes. But it takes much, much longer than it should. These guys figured it out. It's really cool. The company was called Fochi Industries, and it is slick. So that was a cool thing. That was totally a cool thing. Let's see, what else have I got in the bicycle industry that's interesting? Well, this one is extremely interesting. We talk often about good old Peloton, right? Peloton bikes, indoor cycle, in my opinion, a very overpriced system, but obviously they hit when the time was ripe and they did really well. But the co-founder of Peloton has stepped down as the company is announcing more layoffs. This was in early February of 2022. John Foley celebrates, and there's a picture of him celebrating back in 2019 when they were just really rocking. But the co-founder of Peloton is stepping down as chief executive officer after an extended streak of tumult at the exercise and treadmill company, which is also cutting almost 3,000 jobs. John Foley first pitched his idea of an interactive exercise bike in 2011, hoping to disrupt the industry. He will give up the CEO position and become executive chair at Peloton Interactive Incorporated. Barry McCarthy, who served as CFO at Spotify as well as Netflix, will take over the CEO position. Interesting. Peloton had been the subject in the media reports this week of a potential takeover target by either Amazon or Nike. The developments Tuesday deflated hopes for such deep-pocketed buyer, and shares of Peloton slipped before the opening bell. If you've been watching Peloton stock at all, it's been horrible. They just did, the company's shares have been on a roller coaster ride since the pandemic began. They surged more than 400% in 2020 as COVID-19 forced lockdowns and shifted the outdoor trend from gym to the home. Nearly all those gains were wiped out in 2021 as the distribution of vaccines sent many people out of their homes and back to the gyms. Wow. The stock fell further this year amid reports that the company would cut back production as sales tumbled. There was also demand late last month from activist investor Blackwell's Capital that Peloton remove Foley as the CEO and that it consider selling the company amid waning consumer demand. So, Peloton is on the tumble. It doesn't surprise me. You know, exercise and you know, we see this a lot in the fitness industry where a trend will come in. Think Zumba. Mm-hmm. as a name that a lot of people knew about. Everyone was doing Zumba. Zumba here, Zumba there. There was Zumba at the fitness centers. There was Zumba in the firehouses. There was Zumba at the community centers. There were Zumbas in the school gyms. There were Zumba classes everywhere. And now it's really not there anymore. So this is a trend when you get into the exercise industry because we're dealing with short attention spans with exercise, which is... It's really a problem. I think it's an American problem. Maybe it's a human problem. I don't know. But it was only a matter of time before the tumble would happen. But anyway, that's what's going on here. The final comment here was, we believe Foley leaving makes it more likely that Peloton ultimately sells the company and the board clears me. The board clearly has major decisions to make in the days and weeks and months ahead. So that was from an analyst who analyzes the industry. So yeah, that's what's going on with Peloton. They are not doing so good. So you know, it happens. It happens. It happens. So what else do I have here? Let's see. This is another interesting little tidbit. I haven't even gotten, we're going to be doing, I'm always saving up more for later. I always think, God, do I have enough information to talk about today? Got plenty of information to talk about. So Chicago Auto Show producers sponsor a contest that produces awful victim blaming PSAs. I love the automobile industry. They're just so, they do everything without, I guess I'll say they do a lot of things with mindless abandon. They don't think about consequences before they launch something new. And that is something that just is infuriating for sure. There's there's a picture here of a woman in a Wonder Woman costume and a little girl on the street. And the caption says, "Little girl, you should wear reflective safety gear so that grown-ups in cars won't kill you when you walk into the street at night. Because there are no sidewalks." And this is from a National Road Safety Foundation Chicago auto show. So now we have we have the Chicago Auto Show, and you know, they're showing off all their new massive, monstrous, what the heck are we thinking of when we're building these foolish vehicles out there on display. And the new Chevy Silverado at the Chicago Auto Show. The front end is nearly as tall as the person standing next to it is AJ LaTrace, and that person is 6'1". Okay. The Chicago Automobile Association, the new car dealer association for Chicagoland area and produces the auto show, recently partnered with the National Road Safety Foundation on the Drive Safe Chicago PSA contest to produce traffic safety videos. Okay. The contest organizers acknowledged that there were more than 7,500 pedestrian and bicycle deaths nationwide in 2020, an increase of nearly 5% over 2019. But they promote driver pandering myth that all road users are equally to blame for the carnage, citing the need to educate drivers, pedestrians, and bicyclists about the risks on the road. So there's a big logoed thing here. It says Drive Safe Chicago. So the three finalist videos advance with the notion that fatal crashes are often the fault of people on foot and bikes acting irresponsibly rather than unsafe street design and reckless behavior by folks piloting high-speed multi-ton vehicles. Did anyone catch my rant earlier? The contest was geared towards local teenagers who proposed ideas for the 30-second spots. But let's not fault these well-meaning young people for the terrible results. We shouldn't expect teens to be experts on the nuances of effective traffic safety messaging. More likely, the contest sponsors and the Emmy-winning producer the youth worked are there to blame. So the first clip, Whose Road Is It? A bike rider and a young child are walking in the street because there are no sidewalks. And they declare, it's my road. A crossing guard scolds them. This isn't your road. This is our road. And we need to share it. When will these vulnerable road users stop being so selfish about hogging the street? This is for real. These are the finalists. These are the three finalists. The next spot, superhero. I read it to you earlier that the superhero was telling the person that the young girl that she needed to wear reflective materials so she didn't get run over by cars and trucks. Oh my God. And then the third one was Share the Music. It's so bad that it achieves a certain grandeur. A person driving, a person walking, and a person biking are all rocking out to the same goofy Strokes-inspired pop tune. Granted, the song is banger. Hey, watch it, yells the pedestrian, walking on yet another street without sidewalks as the cyclist nearly strikes her. Hey, watch it, hollers the bike rider at the driver who runs her off the road. The clip reinforces the ridiculous myth that people are acting negligent on 40-pound bikes just as much as of a threat to public safety as the counterparts in their 4,000-pound cars. The spot ends with the slogan, share the music, share the road. God. So anyway, this is the industry that we are working against. I want you to understand. This is why I talk about bicycle advocacy. This is why I talk about getting in front of your town fathers. This is why I talk about getting out, getting loud, and getting active. This is why we're going to do a ride of silence in May, which, yes, Kevin, I will get back to you on that. I got a couple of things to tell you. This is an awareness issue, and it is an issue that the press and the automobile industry have completely backwards. It is not our fault. We were here first, okay? The bicycles were here before the cars. The pedestrians were here before the bicycles. This is not our problem. It's all of our problem, yes, but You're blaming the victims. You're blaming the people that are getting hit. Should you be blaming the people that are driving their vehicles into a telephone pole and killing themselves in their car that they were being stupid? You probably would. But because they were in a car, they get a different definition of the blame. Whereas it's just, and they, what do they call it? They call it an accident. It's not an accident. Not an accident. I wasn't paying attention. I ran into something. That's not an accident. It's not like it was intentional, but it's still, you know, you got to pay attention. If you are driving a large piece of machinery, like a car or a truck, that weighs over 4,000 pounds, you really need to be paying a lot closer attention to what you're doing. Get off the phone now. Get away from that giant screen that they keep making bigger and bigger and bigger right in the center of your automobile. You got to stop looking at that. You're supposed to be looking straight forward. You're supposed to be looking dead set, straight forward, and then off to the sides, right and left, while you're driving a motorized vehicle. It is a dangerous weapon. It'll always be a dangerous weapon until we figure out how to control this situation. So, yeah, do I rant a lot about it? I do rant a lot about it. But that's what I got today, and I got a little bit more here, and we're starting to run out of time, so I'm gonna back off on that. I've got a great, great article that I'm going to run by you guys that came out of Bike Retailer for next week, and it's by our friend Heather Mason, who's head of the National Bicycle Dealers Association, and it's great because it's going to talk about how retailers can help the U.S. switch from cars to bikes. So here we go. There's a lot of responsibility out here. I will say it. I have some other things I want to talk about next week, which will include some of the classics. And if you missed it, the Milan San Remo, the finish, crazy, crazy descent at the end. Fun stuff. It was off the, Poglio at Milan San Remo, and just a crazy descent and, you know, great finish. Just gutsy move for sure. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on with the classics right now, and that's what we have, and that's what it is. On to events. Remember the Frozen Four. I think we're still into the Frozen Four training series, which are at Hyde Road in Farmington, Connecticut. Check on Bike Reg for more information. People for Bikes, that is right now, 21st through the 23rd. It's the Bicycle Leadership Conference in California. 2022 National Bike Summit, the 27th to the 30th. That will be next week in Washington, D.C. This is a local event, which I thought I would bring out here. 135 kilometers, 6K of elevation, 19 sectors, 5 new sectors, 4 time segments. Yeah, it's the Natchog Epic. It's a lot of off-road, some on the road. It's in the quiet corner here. They refer to it as the Quiet Hell in Thompson, Connecticut. It is coming up on the 27th of this month, and there are already 280 people registered for it. So neat stuff, local stuff. If you're into gravel grinding or cyclocross riding or maybe some fast mountain biking, it's a neat event. By the way, if you are competing in that and you are on the airline trail, will you please, 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 I beg of you, please watch out for the other users of the rail trail while you're out there. That's a shout out to Richard Fries if he's listening, or someone knows him who might be listening, event organizer. Anyway, remember, there's all sorts of great bike stuff coming up. We've got the CCAP Breakaway Benefit Ride and Festival, which is Saturday, May 7th. And there's more information online on that too. We've got women's racing clinics coming up, Nitigrit Park on the 14th of May. Lots of cool stuff. So, finishing points. What do we do with these car companies? What do we do with the average people are advertising and shame blaming those of us who are vulnerable users who are out on the road? This has got to change. This is an attitude problem. It's driven by the press. It's driven by law enforcement, because law enforcement refuses to recognize bicycle collisions as what they are. They call them accidents. They're not accidents. They're not. They're really, they've got to change this. This is huge. So anyway, I'll say it again, and this will not be my last time. Get loud, get active, our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when presenting your local governments, come with solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2022. Initiate, participate, ride your bike, and tell everyone you know. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk here on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. Take care, and I'll see you next week.